First, though, to a country where a contest seems underway. No one's quite sure just how much, though, or where things all might head. We're off to Syria, where overnight there appear to have been some bloody events, some big efforts at demonstrations, now some US-imposed sanctions, plus some particular members of the ruling family singled out for special attention. Freezing of their assets, in other words, notably not the president, Bashar al-Assad. The difficulty is being sure of anything with this country, a reminder of the vacuum that develops when no media is believed to be free and fair, and of course, where the regime has absolutely shut its doors to international media. What is clear is that the country is in turmoil all since the Ides of March, March the 15th. Quite of what quality is what we're going to try to determine now from the crumbs of information we have. Syria's one of the vital countries in the Middle East. Not all are, frankly. It has close connections to Iran, Hezbollah and Hamas. It's ruled by a branch of Shia Islam called the Alawite sect. It has a Christian minority of about 10%. And as I heard on Thursday on LNL, including now about 1 million Iraqi Christians who've in effect been ethnically cleansed from their country. And all of that amidst a Sunni majority of 74%, so this is a diverse place. How much that diversity is playing into the turbulence is what people on the ground and specialists around the world are trying to determine. What do we know about Syria? What can't we easily see, but which does matter? Well, two women joining us now, I hope can join some of these dots. You might remember Basma Khodmadi from an earlier Saturday Extra. She's the Syrian-born executive director of the Arab Reform Initiative. She's based in Paris. And Dr. Fiona Hill, an Australian anthropologist and consultant on Syria, who's been visiting the country for 25 years and whose most recent trip just ended this past week. Welcome to you both.
Thank you, Geraldine.
Thank you.
Fiona, to you first, because you were there, you know, very recently. Can you tell us what you found when you spoke to people during your recent travels?
I would be so delighted to do that, Geraldine. I was there for just over 5 weeks, just arrived home 2 days ago, as you indicated. And just before I proceed, you did fail to mention the substantial Christian population of Syria, the substantial other Shia sects, and the Kurds, and the Palestinians, who of course are Christian and Muslim. You mentioned the Iraqis and the Lebanese refugees that Syria took in. So Syria takes in all the refugees from the surrounding countries when there's any kind of conflagration. So the borders are quite open in that sense. So I travelled the country from Damascus to the near south, to the north, to the east. I speak Arabic. I listened in on conversations. I had conversations. There was no other topic of conversation for the entire just over 5 weeks I was there. Mm. People are very confused, as you indicate, and there is clearly no sense at all amongst the folk, and from my estimation, of a civil unrising, popular civil unrising against the regime. In fact, there's the opposite. There's a concentration on supporting the regime in order to get through whatever these chaotic incidences of violence are, which nobody understands, which are horrible, which are unfortunate, and in which civilians are being killed, and security, army, police, and plainclothes security are being killed also.
Yes, in fact, I mean, there's a very interesting blog because everybody's sort of reaching for everything, and there's in one of the blogs that has come to me, a retired diplomat living in Damascus has, and clearly thinking as a diplomat, not named, I might add, basically is asking the question, who has killed the security personnel? So I think there's an estimated about 46 or 50 security personnel being killed, about 500 or more, probably more now overnight, of civilians.
Yes, and this is from the very beginning.
I just finish? Yes, what was fascinating was the numbers he mentioned. Mm. So you could say, is it the Lebanese Sunnis? Is it the Lebanese Falangist Christians? Mm. Is it the Sunni Muslim radicals? Is it the Kurdish minority? Israel's Mossad, disaffected Alawi insiders, so fringe elements of the security forces. I mean, who do you imagine is doing this?
Look, I'd prefer not to speculate, Geraldine, because I don't see that as my role in life, nor today. But what I'd prefer to do, if you'd permit me, is to describe how the Syrians are bearing this and talking about this. And there is not so much mention of names of who's doing what. There's just a very strong sense of fear and foreboding.
And what's the fear and foreboding about?
The fear and foreboding is mostly being twofold. It's being firstly inspired by these incidences that people are hearing about. They're hearing about it on the propaganda machine, which is true, the Syria television. Heretofore, nobody watched Syrian news, Geraldine, because it was images of the president or a minister meeting with some delegate with a voiceover. So it wasn't particularly informative or interesting. But now, Syrian news has turned into vox populi on the street. They're out. They appear to be trying to find information like everybody else. They're also televising funerals of security officials who've been killed and army and police, which of course is a propaganda tool, but it's also very, very real. And we could imagine that they're not televising civilian funerals because that's an invasion of privacy, and we don't do that here either.
Oh, well, yes, we do. I mean, they wouldn't be doing civilian funerals because they wouldn't presumably want that to be out there.
No, but we don't televise civilian funerals.
Oh, yes, we do, actually.
we televise funerals of people who are of note to Australian citizens, like army officers and...
Oh, we also... But anyway, we won't get into that, don't we?
Anyway, that's not what we're here to talk about. So there's a sense of... The way Syrians get their news is from calling each other, and they have family, friends all over the country. It's a small country, as you know, and finding out, you know, what have you heard? Where are you? And the message keeps coming back, we don't know. We were there, but we didn't see it. Or we were there and somebody got shot, but we don't know who shot them.
Mm. Okay.
And this is the message. Now, the second part of that, and a very serious part in everybody's opinion, is the way the international press is reporting. With the difficulties that they face, this is understood because they can't come in and report firsthand. But what started out is reporting the confusion and doing their best to get to some kind of facts has now appeared to have turned into quite, in the Syrians' opinion, quite mischievous reporting and fabricated reporting, and a reporting that has the agenda of wishing to portray Syria as being under some kind of popular civil uprising.
Well,
and casting in the same light as, say, the countries surrounding it, who have been going through turmoil of their own. Singular characteristics which cannot be compared to any other country.
Now, I think actually there's been an effort to be really quite nuanced, but Basma, what I noticed this week is the sudden, I'd almost put it as panic, certainly alarm in various newspapers and reports about the possibility of a genuine implosion in any way, a sort of a collapse of the centre, so that even if people weren't delighted about Bashar al-Assad's regime, the last thing they wanted was any sense of vacuum. Why would that be so?
Well, there is considerable fear among people now. I think what we have witnessed in the last 3 weeks is that people were going on the streets and we were hearing slogans about freedom and dignity and the need for change and the demand for the release of political prisoners who were there in thousands and in solidarity with the people of the city of Dera, which was the one that rose first. And all of this has created a climate of revolt across the country, and it spreads across all the cities of Syria, especially last Friday. Since then, we have seen a very strong and brutal repression, especially in two cities. One is Dera, and since the beginning of the movement, we've had the suppression in Dera, as if Dera was the one model of what the regime was willing to do, and sending a message out that what happens to this city might happen to other cities, and there is therefore a deterring impact of such a the suppression in Daraa. Now,
What I'd really like to get at is, from what you know, are there genuine fears that if there was any sense of a loss of power in the centre, that you would have this diversity would become a real problem rather than an asset for Syria? Is there some? Should people watching on be a sense aware of being on the cusp of some really terrible developments or not? Is that overstating it?
No, it is not overstating it for a very clear reason, and that is the regime has decided to play the sectarian strategy. As soon as the demands that were satisfied with small measures here and there were not enough, there has been a very clear mobilization of the overall community, which is in support of the president, the community from which he comes, the Alawi community. He has negotiated with the representatives of the big families to ensure their loyalty, to consolidate the cohesion within the community so that it would rise and stand in support of the regime.
But would we have a bloodbath? Would we have a bloodbath, to be really blunt? Would there be a bloodbath a la Iraq if this were to seriously change?
It should not be the case. However, if the regime continues to play the sectarian card, it is provoking and triggering in return the same response from the other community, which is the majority Sunni community. Now, we could go down that road because this strategy is leading there. This is not the history of the country. It is not a tradition of Syria that communities ever fought each other. However, we are currently in the most dangerous approach and strategy in handling this crisis, because dividing along sectarian lines is what is now occurring. So we see a rise among the Muslim Sunni majority with its religious leaders, and now with the political movement, the Muslim Brothers, which we have not heard inside the country for at least 30 years now. These people are now coming out and saying, well, if it is going to be an Alawi suppression, then this is a Sunni uprising. And this is where I think the main risk lies.
All right, look, I'm sorry to leave it there, but we do have to move on to other stories, and I would like to thank you both very much for adding your thoughts to this very, very confused and obviously very demanding story right now. Basma Khodmadi, thank you to you.
Thank you.
Basma is Executive Director of the Arab Reform Initiative, and Dr. Fiona Hill, thank you to you.
Thank you.
Dr. Fiona Hill, a founder of the Al-Manar Consultancy. It advises people on Syria and conducts tours. And Dr. Hill has been travelling there for many years. Any thoughts, most welcome, from our marvellous listening audience, who I know are great travellers. I'd really be very keen to hear from you. So if you go to our website, you can see how you can leave your thoughts, and we'll follow that story, of course.